This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. We are efforting right now to try to get CSU head basketball coach Ali Farokhmanesh on the show. Michael's just going to keep trying. Just went to voicemail.
So far, I'm 0 for 3.
Okay. Well, I just shot him a text, so he's expecting your call. So we'll see. We would love to get him on because this Sunday, Colorado State men's basketball posted this on their X account. Sunday is about more than hoops. Join us this Sunday at 1 o'clock for our neurodiversity inclusion game as the Rams get set to take on Northern New Mexico. That is 1 o'clock at Moby Arena. And I'm curious if we can get Coach on. I want to get the details of what the game's going to look like. I'm fascinated by this because, again, you guys knowing my story a bit, we don't go to a lot of the same things that most parents probably go to. Or if we do, it's in a completely different way. I mean, even going to a movie theater a couple years ago, we did that. And that was a great, a good friend of ours, Carmen, put this on. And they had a movie showing. Can't remember. I think it was a Minions movie. But it was for neurodivergent children. You know, parents obviously are going. But it was a full-on understanding going into it. There's going to be kids running around. There's going to be kids jumping up and down doing stuff that they would normally not be able to do if you were going to just a regular movie night. For us, it was the first time we'd ever been to a movie theater with Gavin. So it was a very special moment for us. So I'm curious if we can get Coach on here in just a minute. But we'll make it work either way, Michael, because anytime we get a chance to talk to Ali, and we'll talk some basketball, too. The Rams beat Dartmouth the other night, 76-55. And they're looking like a force to be reckoned with. They'll take on Northern New Mexico. And that will be their final non-conference game. Then they'll go up against Utah State to start the season. You say, Chris. Northern New Mexico is on the way. 3-day road trip. Looking forward to it. Yeah, and Eastside Chris has kind of been our unofficial, maybe official, Northern New Mexico sideline reporter guy that follows the team. Not sure. I mean, it happened when UNC played him a couple years ago. Maybe it was last year. And then it was such a fascinating story about Northern New Mexico. Eastside Chris took an interest in that basketball program and has now given us random updates. And especially when they link up here. And, okay, so we've got an update. Our guy Ryan over there is trying to find him. Ryan's running around. Dude, Ryan Pfeiffer, SID over there at CSU, does amazing work. But trying to track down Ali Farokhmanesh can be tough because that guy's crafty. He's still got it, man. He's still got that quickness that he had in his college basketball days. So we'll see. Mike, try him at some point here in just a moment. But, man, watching basketball in this area, it is such a breath of fresh air compared to where we were with the football scene. And I think brighter days are ahead for CSU football, but basketball's not skipping a beat, man. Ali takes over for Nico Medved, and we're able to start the season 8-2. They get a big victory over the Buffs last weekend, 91-86, and you wondered, okay, is there going to be a little bit of a hangover type of effect going up against Dartmouth? Not the case. They win 76-55. We do have Ali on the show. Is it just Ali? Is it just Ali? I know Mallory might be jumping on too. Or is it just Ali? Just Ali? Okay. Ali's going to take offense to that, that I just said, is it just Ali? CSU head coach Ali Faroukmanesh joining us. Coach, my friend, always great to catch up with you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Brady. You know, we had the day off yesterday, and then I thought our guys looked a little gassed on Tuesday, so I actually gave them the day off again today. So we give them 2 days off right now.
All right, Coach, watching this game against Dartmouth, you guys win 76-55. Camera kept kind of showing you didn't look 100% pleased. You were like, hey guys, we got to pick it up a little bit. We want to be blowing this team out a little more.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was necessarily like blowing out Dartmouth specifically or anything like that. It's just raising our standard of how we go about our business. And we don't play to our competition, no matter who we're playing. Like, even if you're playing a really good team like Colorado or South Florida or Virginia Tech, like we did earlier this year, like the standard's the standard of how you go about your business. And I think that was, it's getting better. And it's just, we're taking steps to become more consistent in certain areas. And that's everybody in the country, right? Like, that's what you're fighting for. And so that's what I was fighting for on Tuesday.
Well, I mean, isn't that in every game and all season, it's like a series of learning events too. And with you saying that, like, hey, whoever it is, we don't want to play in a certain style. We want to make sure we're playing, you know, to the status that you're striving for, to what, you know, the work level, all that stuff. So at times in this game, you're like, hey, I'm going to platoon this bad boy. We're going to throw in a completely different unit and see what they got. Sometimes that can wake dudes up where, you know, at this type of year, as you're ending your non-conference schedule, it kind of maybe slightly refocuses a team after a huge win over the weekend.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, right, you're fighting a little bit of human nature that you had three big games in the Bahamas the week before, right? And they were all super physical. They were all quad one, quad two games, and you came out 2-1, feel good about yourself. It's a long trip back home. Then you're preparing for Colorado next, and that's a super emotional game, just with a rivalry and everything. So I hate saying that, but there was definitely a little bit of a hangover just from the amount of work that those guys put in, and how emotional those games were and high level those games were. There was a little drop off going into Dartmouth, and you felt it. I actually thought defensively we looked really good at times, and we took some steps in the directions that we've been focusing on. But offensively we were a little slow, we were a little sluggish in some areas, but I was proud of the guys for fighting. They still fought for what we were trying to get done, and that's what we said. It's a process, and it's step by step, and we made small steps to where we want to get to, and now we got to take another step.
Well, and obviously the scouting report is really starting to glow for other teams. Looking at Josh Pascarelli, I mean, this guy, he only shot two three-pointers in that game, Coach, if I'm right, made them both. He has this quick release, though, where it's just like, I mean, I'm hearing it on the broadcast. I'm hearing it from a lot of other people. There's a little Steph Curry to this guy. If you give him an inch, he's gonna find a way. Obviously, Dartmouth was making that a big part of their game plan, was to try to slow him down.
Yeah, and I think that was probably why, because they went 3-2 zone against Wyoming basically 85% of the game up there. And then we didn't even see it till the second half. So we had to prepare our guys for it just because we really hadn't seen a zone in a while. So that was part of it. I think that was part of why our offense was a little slower in that game to get going. And yeah, Josh is always going to be a key. I guess I don't know why he wouldn't have been a key going into Saturday's game when he was 8-for-8 the game before, but, we got to find ways to get him shots, but also when you got four other guys out there that all shoot over 40% too, it makes it hard to just key on one guy from three. It creates a lot of problems having Josh out there on the floor.
Ali Faroukmanesh joining us, head coach for Colorado State. Kyle Jorgensen, man, how's he doing? I noticed he kept, like, he had a good game, and he's had a really good season. I noticed he kept kind of grabbing that left elbow and then maybe came out with a kind of a band over it too. Everything good there? Obviously stayed in the game, finished the game, but is he feeling okay coming up for this next game against Northern New Mexico?
Yeah, it seemed like it was like a more of a bursa sack thing in his elbow and whatnot. So he's okay. It was nothing around that. It actually is his thumb's been bothering him a little bit. So that's, he's dealing with a few things. And I kind of told him, I was like, when you move up in the lineup, that's what happens. You get beat up more.
And
that's part of your job too, is you get to a point, you start realizing like really half of your job now, once you get into the season, is taking care of your body and trying to figure out ways to recover, and knowing that you probably will not feel 100% the rest of the season. And I think Kyle would definitely probably tell you he does not feel 100%, but he's battling, and I'm proud of him for he's become a tougher player in this past season too. Obviously, the skill level and everything else is what makes him great, but I think his toughness is really starting to show, and that's huge.
Well, I talked about like what a testament is to you, your staff, and you know guys like Jason Phillips. I said this like. I even said it last year, like, take a look at Kyle Jorgensen now, compare him to what he's going to look like in a year, two, or three. I mean, it's night and day difference. He certainly, I mean, it's not like he looked bad last year, but he really looks the part this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, JP's done a phenomenal job with him in the weight room. And then also, like, Madison, our trainer, Megan, our new nutritionist, they've done a tremendous job of educating him on what he needs to be doing. And then at some point, right, we all have access to the same information. It's how you use it. And I think he's taking full advantage of all the resources that we have here. And you get to a point where you start realizing, like, me getting in the gym more isn't the reason why I'm not getting what I want out of this. It's all those 1% areas of my life in terms of my sleep, my diet, how I do my recovery. All those areas are really what separates you once you get to this level. Everyone works hard. Everyone's in the gym. It's those areas that pretty much everybody in daily life struggles with, right? How are those areas affecting your game? And I think Kyle realized those were the next steps for him to take. And man, he took huge steps in all those areas.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. I mean, it's a fun squad, Coach. There's no question. And you mentioned a couple of those big wins. You know, going into the Dartmouth game, it's like, how do you handle a game like this when you have a really emotional game at Moby? That place was rocking. You beat the Buffs. I have to ask, because we're friends, your post-game comments were like as professional as they can be. They're like, hey, we respect that team. Good in-state win, all this stuff. I couldn't help but catch, you know, Coach Boyle, who I have a lot of respect for, he mentioned that was your Super Bowl. I don't know if you heard that. I have to ask because we're friends. You can no comment me if you want, but I thought that was kind of a little interesting fadeaway from that coach south of you guys.
No, and I don't know what the context of it was necessarily, but I respect the heck out of Tad and the career that he's had at Colorado. I mean, it's hard to imagine where Colorado basketball was prior to Tad Boyle,
sure,
you know, and how much success they've had and how many good players have come out of there in the last 15 years. So the one thing I know is, like, when Colorado State and Colorado are both good at basketball, it's better for the state of Colorado. And so, like, I probably shouldn't say this, and Ram fans probably don't like that, but, like, I'm absolutely rooting for them the rest of the season. Like, I want them to be really good. I want us to be really good so that next year it's the same atmosphere when we go up to Boulder, when we play them, because I think that's – if we want to keep kids in the state of Colorado, basketball has to mean something to the state of Colorado. And when those two teams are really good, it means something to the state, especially when you have kids from the state playing in that game. That's only going to help me recruiting going forward. Like, I want the best kids in the state of Colorado to be choosing to play basketball and choosing to, and at the end of the day, they're choosing between being a Ram or a Buff. And that's what I want to get it to. So whether it's my Super Bowl, his Super Bowl, whatever, as long as it's a sold out arena and we're playing against each other and it's good for the state of Colorado, I'm up for whatever bowl game it is.
I love it too, and I'm with you. I mean, I look forward to that game. I've loved that game for as long as I can remember. And when both teams are good, there's just a different feel about it. And there was certainly a different feel last weekend against Colorado. Coach Ali Farokh-Manesh joining us, man. Coming up this weekend. First off, I loved the story from Mike Brohard. It available at csurams.com, kind of specifically talking about your family. And obviously leading to this game coming up against Northern New Mexico, this is going to be CSU's neurodiversity inclusion game. Obviously, you and I connect a little bit here. I know the UNC head football coach connects a little bit here. What you guys are doing, and I want to get into detail what this game looks like. is bringing light to this, and I absolutely love that you guys are putting this game on, Coach. If you can spend some moments talking to us about what this game looks like, what this means personally to you and your family.
Yeah, it's special. Like, I think this is these are those events that and Mal and I had talked about this, like, geez, I mean, when I first got into coaching, that, you know, she gave up her career basically as an ICU nurse for me to be able to do this. So we always thought that there was a platform that was going to present itself someday for her to get back to helping people the way she did as a nurse, just in a different capacity. And this opportunity, obviously me getting being put in this position, set that up for us and then set that up for our family. And then going through what we went through with Mila, not knowing a diagnosis and for her autism. And I think that was one of the hardest things that she went through, I went through, is you didn't really know where to go. You didn't know who to talk to. You didn't know what was going on. And at the time, what we were told was all these different things about what was happening and why it was happening with Mila, and we couldn't get any answers. And I want people to know. Now, that's part. It's not just for people that are autistic. It's not just for something specific. It's for everybody. And I think the biggest thing is I want to bring our community together so that people and parents that are going through certain situations and are looking for answers that might not have them. And when we've talked about this, finding community to be able to talk to other people about just everything, not even struggles, just more just everything that's happening in their lives and what's going on and whatnot and how they've dealt with things. This is what this is about, is to bring that community together, to also allow for people to connect and hopefully build a bigger community around one another, and then also present educational resources for people that might not know certain situations about what people are going through. And I think that's what's the special thing about Colorado State, is when you have someone like Temple Grandin at this university, it makes it all that much better, is that you have someone that's been an advocate and one of the first people to do what she's done in her career. Like, it's something for my daughter to look up to. And so I believe in a higher purpose to things, and you can't tell me that this wasn't all put in place by a higher purpose. So I'm super excited for Sunday at 1:00, and I hope people are able to come, not even just for the basketball game. Like, I'd love it if people come for the basketball game, but to me, it's more for those people that, man, you're looking for community, you're looking for connection with other people that might be going through similar things that you're going through, and all the resources that are going to be at the game. It's going to be phenomenal.
So, Coach, what will kind of separate this game from, like, a typical game? Obviously, I know when I see, like, neurodiversity inclusion, I'm expecting a little bit different feel than, you know, what a typical game or a typical event might look like.
Yeah, so there'll be different stations set up around the concourse, actually, from the Special Olympics to Foothills Gateway. There's five different stations that will be set up, and each one will have different resources for people that are trying to learn more, get education, or trying to figure out different ways that they can get help too. And then that's a huge piece, and I'm excited about that. And then throughout the game, they'll be doing different presentations about things and whatnot. A Special Olympics team will be playing at halftime, a basketball game at halftime as well. We'll have people that are with Foothills Gateway that will get to be wiping the floor up with the managers in between timeouts. Temple Grandin's going to be there also. I'm just excited for everybody to be a part of it, and obviously for my family to be a part of it. And we got these wristbands that all these guys are going to get on Saturday that just says "Lead with Curiosity." And I think that's probably the biggest thing about this, is just more – Just being more curious than judgmental. And I think that's the biggest takeaway I have from this whole event, is lead with curiosity and choose curiosity over judgment.
I can't tell you how much, like, you know me, my story too, of course, with our little guy, Gavin, hearing this kind of stuff, and, you know, with what I think a lot of people can be inspired, because when you get that diagnosis, you're like, oh my gosh, what's next? And I love your story too, because what you and your wife Mallory have done, I mean, these are great. These are incredible people. You're a Division I basketball coach, and you guys are finding ways to make this work. And every case is a little bit different. I'll never forget, like, when we first got our diagnosis, then we sit down with our pediatrician, and I love our old pediatrician. You know, the first thing he told me was like, you know, I guess the big thing is he'll be a little awkward at parties. I'm like, you don't really know a lot about what, there's just so much, like, even pediatricians, even doctors are still trying to figure out what this looks like. Being able to educate people to all of these different stories, games like this, events like this, these are huge when it comes to that.
No, 100%. And I think it's like what we said, it's for families to be able to connect with one another too. Because like, I don't think it's hard to truly understand someone's experience if you're not going through it, right? You always try to with empathy, but it's that's part of what this game is too, is to really allow for connection for people. And so I hope there's a ton of people in the community that whatever you're going through, it's neurodiversity. So it's also including people that are going through depression and have anxiety, and on down the line. It's for those people to be able to come here and be with other people that might be experiencing the same thing, and then also have all these resources in the same building to be able to get access for those people. I know I'm pretty lucky that I'm at Colorado State and I have access to a ton of people that can help us and my family. And I wanted to be able to bring some of those resources and some of those connections to the forefront for everybody. So I'm hopeful that's kind of what gets accomplished by this on Sunday, as well as a win, but mainly that.
Yeah, I love it, Coach. Well done by you guys. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to continuing to follow this program. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours, and obviously these kind of stories just kind of hammer that message home for me. So well done by you and the staff, and you and your wonderful family for putting this together for all of Colorado State. It's absolutely huge, and it's so important to not just our community, but the country, as this is an ongoing discussion too.
No, absolutely. It's become a little politicized in some ways, but at the end of the day, that's part of this too, is to get full education on it and truly get the education from people that are experts in their fields. And that's not me. So I'm not the one to give all the advice out on everything, but I do know one thing is that I've learned from my wife and over time is that usually when you research stuff and you ask the right people the right questions, you can find your answers, and the right people will be in the building on Sunday to be able to help anybody that needs help.
Like I said, man, when you first get that diagnosis or whatever, it's like, where do we go? What do we do? And not everything works for this family, had a different experience, whatever. Being able to get as much information as you possibly can, it's critical. It's absolutely huge. So thank you for doing this, man. I always appreciate it. And I know you're bummed out, Coach. We had you on weekly last year, and you would always throw out like your basketball, you know, tips of the, your basketball phrases of the week for us, man. Are you getting rusty? You know, I know you got a little busier now and you're head coach and all that stuff, but you got to miss a little part of that.
100%. All I know is I didn't drop you. You dropped me. That's what I found out.
Oh, man, we are talking after this. I'm calling you off the hook coming up next. Ali, appreciate you, man. I love having you on the show. And you know, seriously, you're always welcome on this program. And I love what you're doing, man. Best of luck to you guys the rest of the way and, of course, this weekend.
Oh, thanks, Brady. I appreciate it. Hope to see you Sunday, too.
All right, man. Sounds good. Ali Farokhmanesh, head coach for Colorado State. You got him, Mike. Good job. He had to call you. He had to call you, Mike. You couldn't get through. He had to call us, right?
That's what happens sometimes when their phones just.
I blame
his phone.
Yeah. No, this is it's a great thing. Seriously, like education on this is huge. And even if you are educated, one person's story is not going to be the same. I'm serious, Mike. We get our diagnosis. We find out my kiddo's on the autistic spectrum. We go sit down with our pediatrician like the next week or whatever, and he's a great guy, but he's that's not his specialty. So he's like, you know, he'll be good. Worst case, he's going to be a little awkward at parties. That's what we were told, and we're like, yeah, it's a little more than that, a little bit more than that.
Yeah, basically, he's saying he's going to be Micah.
and this kid, like, he's amazing in so many ways, but we certainly have our hurdles. We certainly have our things we have to get through. For example, like my schedule, I'm not able to go. I don't go to games like I used to because at night, you know, when I get my kid expects a kind of certain bit of instruction, not instruction. What am I looking for? Kind of a routine. And dad's a big part of that when he gets off work. And so going to games has kind of been one of the things I haven't done as much. That's why, thankfully, I have ESPN Plus and the Mountain West Network app and all of these different outlets that I can sit on the couch and watch games. I can catch as much and get the information. But yeah, going to games and things like that can certainly take a hit. But for me, it's like I get to spend time with the most awesome little child that I've ever been around. And it's sometimes very perplexing, very confusing to figure out what's going through his brain. And that is a battle, a thing that my wife and I fight through. A lot of families deal with this. It's truly inspiring to see what some families can do.
I think you're the reason why the Rams suck. If you had been going to these games, the Rams would have won a few more.
The Rams suck. What?
Not their basketball team, their football team.
They're 8-2, Michael. They're 8-0. Oh, you're talking about the football team?
Yeah,
I did go to.
Their basketball team I expected to be good.
I went to a few
Norvell
football.
Redenbacher's team just wasn't great.
Not great. Yeah. All right. 30 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll take a short break here. We're going to get to the top stories of the day actually coming up because there's a lot going on. So we'll get that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
So what's the craziest thing you've done lately?
All right, Mike, there's a lot going on at Big City Roadhouse that I got to throw out. Check this out. Check it out, Mike. They are doing a big giveaway coming up on New Year's Day from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you go by for like their breakfast and all that stuff, they're going to be doing big specials. You could win a 55-inch smart TV at 10:30. When you walk in, it's a fun concept that we were kind of working with Big City Roadhouse. They're going to give you opportunities to win a remote control. And if you get the right remote control to turn the TV on, you win it. You win the TV. Just by going to Big City Roadhouse on New Year's Day, this will be happening from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. At 10:30, they'll be announcing the winner. Go there for breakfast, man. Most of our listeners aren't staying up past midnight anyway on New Year's Eve. So you're weird. Most normal people are like, yeah, that was fun when I was young, but not anymore. That's a reason to stop by Big City Roadhouse. So this promotion, man, a 55-inch smart TV, you can go win. You can go win that bad boy. Maybe you don't need one. Go win it for somebody else. Make a heck of a late Christmas gift, even though it's January 1st. But still, they're going to be having a great – so they got tons of great deals going on. And they're going to have their New Year's Eve party. That's going to be a fantastic time, too. But you want to go win a TV, man, there's an opportunity for you. On New Year's Eve, ring in the New Year's they're going to do the New York ball drop at 10 p.m. So they're going to do the drop there because most people aren't going to stay out until midnight. So they're going to do it at 10. It's denim and diamonds. Denim and Diamonds is what we're calling this very first one at Big City Roadhouse. So it's after the after party, 8 o'clock to 10:30. It's $20 admission. They're going to have a DJ there, a balloon drop, champagne toast. Dinner reservations are encouraged. Full menus available. Check them out online at BigCityRoadhouse.com. So if you're looking for something fun to do, then I would look at Big City Roadhouse. Plus New Year's Day, they're going to be open, and you can go enjoy some great specials. They've got their New Year's Day hangover breakfast. If you need a place to recover after a great New Year's Eve, they've got you covered. 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hair of the Dog, $5 drink specials. Bloody Mary, Mimosa, Blurred Limes, Margarita. And then they're going to have their $12 hangover breakfast options. They got their breakfast burrito or their Roadhouse Huevos Rancheros. So try that at Big City Roadhouse. If you guys have not been there, man, They've changed it up a lot. They opened up like that dining area behind the bar. So there's a lot more space there. It's not so tight with the booths right there. And then they just put in some massive 86-inch TVs above, like, not above the bar, but like behind the bar, up above that spot. So you can, there's not a bad seat in the house. And they're adding more as we speak. They're doing more and more of this. There's literally no other place, no better place to go watch the game than Big City Roadhouse. The big, big game. You can follow the Broncos and their playoff quest all the way through at Big City Roadhouse. 12:39 the time. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Merry Christmas, baby. You really did treat me nice.
That's pretty good. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Okay, Mike, it's negotiating time. You are on one side of the college football agreement. You're a football elitist. I am.
I want more money.
I'm probably somewhere in between. Ross Dellinger put out a story, and kind of resurfaced this story, I should say, about what a potential proposal would look like if they do edit the college football playoffs. I really think, Mike, for sure, count on 16. Count on 16 as we go forward. There's going to be at least 16. There is another proposal out there, though, that would have to be approved, obviously, by the SEC and the Big Ten.
If they're the real conference.
But the Big Ten, I hope James Madison and Tulane win so much. So much. That there could potentially go to 24. Do you like this model? Four guarantees for the SEC, four guarantees for the Big Ten, four guarantees for the ACC, four guarantees for the Big 12, two G5 champs, the best two G5 champs, and then the rest, would it be six at-large bids for a 24-team playoff?
I don't like guarantees. Look, you could have a conference.
Okay, Micah, they're not going to do 1 through 12, 1 through 16, 1 through 25, because your ass is getting sued for that. They're not going to do that. The G5 will say, no, this is an unfair playing field. We're not standing for it. And these days, the NCAA is getting sued like crazy. Might as well add the college football playoffs to it. You're not going to go 1 through 12. It's not happening. So come up with something other than,
I don't like the plan.
Because they're not going to do your plan. Your plan's easy. My Uncle Remus, who doesn't even follow football, came up with this plan. Just go with the highest ranked teams. It's not feasible. They're not going to do that. So what else you got? Come on. Fire back. What do you got?
Let's see here. Well, the University of Nobody is UMass. UMass, I think they can have the Rose Bowl. It's bowls, no matter.
You're not,
no
but
matter.
You're see what you're doing. You're not giving me anything. You're sitting there going, I don't want guarantee. Now you're making a weird joke that wasn't really funny. You don't like the idea of 4-4-4-4, two, and then six at larges.
Well, you could have a really bad year for your conference, where like three teams go 9-3. Like, I'm sorry, 9-3 teams shouldn't necessarily get into the playoffs. Like, if your conference is
But this
crap,
is the compromise that they're looking to get for the SEC and the Big Ten to do this and allow G5s to have that opportunity to get in. This might be the only path to go here. I, for one, like, I have no problem with the current setup, but it's the Notre Dames of the world and the BYUs of the world that are pissed off, and they're trying to make it right with them. I get that, but I feel like this is a good compromise to have. Because you hate, like Big Hub says, what's up with all the G5 hate? Because it's people like Michael. They don't feel like those teams belong in the same universe.
They do not.
They would if they were allowed the same scheduling opportunities, but you can't have nine conferences all be legit. That's a lot of teams. You just can't. So the idea that these other schools can just go, Michael's magical wand over here, just go make everybody have a tough schedule. It is mathematically impossible to do that.
Do you know what Micah's magical wand is called? My magical wand is called right.
It's not. If you do what you want to do, you're cutting out pretty much the state of Colorado. I mean, other than the Buffs, you're cutting out Colorado State.
State's been ranked 16 before. They can do it again. It's going to be work, but they can do it again.
How? They don't have, even if you get one team, Boise State had Oregon on their schedule, Mike. They lost a close game to them. They had them. And people were still bitching that Boise State got into the playoffs. And that's not going to go away. I mean, we all use that for Boise State, the people making the case for them. But most people, the national scene was, oh, they still haven't played a full. It's all about the full schedule. Oh, they had one hard game. That's what they're going to say. 12:49 the time. I mean, come with something real. If you don't like that, give me something else. You're going to have auto bids. You're going to have to. That's the only way these conferences are going to give in. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show, the whole show powered by Chevron. Great chat with Ali Farokhmanesh earlier on the program, talking about their neurodivergent game coming up this weekend against Northern New Mexico. Also talked a little basketball with him. Ali's he's one of the good ones, man. And I've been a fan of him and what his family's doing, what they're dealing with. Not that dealing with. I know they're really pumped and happy with everything going on with their little girl, Mila, and that great family because he has several kids, too. So shout out to Ali for joining the show today. And, man, basketball's good. Nuggets are back in action tonight. Let's get the Nuggets rocking and rolling because the OKC Thunder, man. Tanner and Brian asked me this morning if I was worried about the Thunder yet. Of course I'm worried about the Thunder. I can't worry about them right now. Nuggets got to take care of their business on a nightly basis, and we worry about them when it comes to the playoffs. That's going to be a tough battle, but you got to get to the proper seed first, and then we'll start worrying. Buy or sell coming up. Thursday night special. Big one. Kevin Lytle joining us as well. All that and more. Final hour of the show. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.